listening to Nightlife with Suzanne Hill on ABC Radio.
Yes, Nightlifers, we are having a light-themed history quiz tonight. I'm pleased to see a few of you are excited by this idea. We've got one line, I think about to be two, left on the switchboard at the moment. So if you'd like to be part of our history quiz tonight, hop on 1300 800 222 and do join us. It's not just a quiz. It's a chance for us all to catch up, share stories, observations, perhaps a joke or two. Sometimes I don't get your jokes, but look, you can still try. Let's say hello to Alex, for example, who said, I've never, ever randomly messaged a radio station like this before. I've no idea what you'd like to hear from people, but I report that it's another cold night in Inglewood. I'm trying to get my seven cats to let me sleep, but not a chance. So I chose you guys instead to listen to and to shut them out for the night. They do happen to have their own bedroom with a heater, a king-size bed, and down doonas to keep them warm. Well, I know I envy these cats, so please don't feel too bad for them. And besides, I don't allow them out at all for the sake of our wildlife. Anyway, hello from all of us here, including my two sleeping dogs, the seven cats, and the person sending this text. Warm regards from Alex, who's never texted us before. Alex, it's very nice of you to make your voice heard so that the rest of the Nightlife family know that you're here. Okay, who wants to be part of our history quiz tonight? Shall we get into it?
The question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
I imagine too that this will probably be the last time Trevor Chappell is driving to work listening to the history quiz. So Trev, if that's you in the car, good luck for your very, very last history quiz in the car. Trev's going to chat with us when he does get into work because it's his final week. This is the last time I'll hand over to Trev. So looking forward to having a bit more of a chat with him before. For me, it'll be very sad saying goodbye, actually. Anyway, Chris in Nelson Bay. Hello, Chris.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Oh, I can't complain, Chris. How's your day been?
Pretty good. I must admit, I'm a bit sad to hear about Trevor leaving as well. It's end of an era, really. It's been a lovely time with him.
It really is, with Rod and Trev and Pav. Yeah, I feel like there's been a whole change.
A change of the guard.
That's right. Ah, well, guard comes and we'll all get used to it. And
Absolutely. The world keeps turning.
Exactly so.
Looking forward to hearing from Trevor at the end of the day. Good luck to him.
Now, Chris, our theme tonight is light. And question one is, Colonel William Light designed the layout of which Australian city?
Colonel William Light.
Yes.
Well, let's see. It was Burley Griffin that did Canberra. Right. It certainly wasn't Sydney. That wouldn't be Parramatta.
I don't know that you could say that anyone designed Sydney.
It's going to be wonderful when it's finished. It's certainly been a long time coming, but when it's finished, it'll be good. Jesus, Light, you've got me there. Are we talking big city or are we talking little town?
Oh, I'm not telling you anything more, but I said it's a city. I said it's a city.
Oh, city, okay. In that case, I'll take a stab at Adelaide.
Oh, you've done well. It is Adelaide.
Oh, I've lucky you've got there.
Yes.
I believe it was the Germans that mostly settled Adelaide, so making something to do with that.
Oh, no, the Germans came a bit later. Mainly, it was a design. Remember, Adelaide was this kind of ideal colony. And deliberately designed. And William Light was the person who designed the layout where those parklands sit right around the city centre. And there's a big statue of William Light right up the top of a hill. And if you know the Paul Kelly song, Adelaide, there's a line in there where he talks about drinking his wine at the bottom of the statue of Colonel Light.
Well, I hate to be rude, but I went to Adelaide once and once only.
Oh.
And I found Adelaide to be beautiful. It's a gorgeous place. Lovely to wander around, the layout, the tram that takes you out to Glenelg and come back and see, look at the beach. From Sydney, you can't watch the sunset over water, but you can there. So it was beautiful to see all that stuff. But I had the worst case of barley belly that day. So I saw the Adelaide to while trying to find every public convenience I could.
Oh, no. Well, you better go back and have an experience where you don't have Bali Belly.
I reckon, because, yeah, it was a shame. Because, yeah, it was beautiful, but it was a very urgent tour as well.
So, okay. Yeah. Sorry to hear that. Okay, question two in our light-themed history quiz. Who did Perth residents turn their lights on for on February the 20th, 1962?
Trying to think if it was going to be for Yuri Gagarin or whether it's going to be for Sputnik itself. And I've got to go for Yuri Gagarin.
It is not Yuri Gagarin.
Oh, it must be the American guy.
Thanks,
thank you
Chris.
Very much. Hope you have a lovely night.
All right. Lovely to talk to you too, Chris. 1-300-800-222. Here's Harry in Paddington.
Hello. You don't know the singer Leonard Cohen?
Sorry, what's the question?
You know the singer Leonard Cohen?
Oh, do I know Leonard? I'm a huge fan.
Okay, Suzanne, give me a question. That's easy to answer. I'm not that very smart and I want to win the magnet.
Well, who did Perth residents turn their lights on for on February 20th, 1962? Now I'll turn it over to you.
I think that's Buzz Aldrin. If I'm wrong, just tell me.
I'm afraid that you are wrong, Harry.
Love it. There you go.
I did not expect that, but that was amazing. Thank you very much, Harry.
You're welcome.
Okay, it wasn't Buzz Aldrin. It's not Yuri Gagarin. Let's have a yarn with Stuart in Victor Harbour.
G'day, Susan. Listen, I hope while you're over in now don't get upset. It's quite okay. When you're over there in, what was it called, Vanuatu, you did mention a rainbow warrior, did you?
I didn't really have cause to, Stuart.
Well, just don't mention the war. It's a similar sort of thing, really. But it did happen, didn't it? Yeah, I was just saying, you know, upset the apple cart if a fight starts or something. Anyway, hello, Suzanne.
Hello. You lost me completely, but there's no need to explain.
I was trying to be funny and I was just complete foul up.
See, this is what I predicted at the beginning. Some of you will try to make jokes and some of them I will not understand.
That's quite right, Suzanne. That was quite good, that little melody there. And, and you've got quite a nice voice, Suzanne. You should be congratulated. I'm sure it sounded all right.
Well, thank you, Stuart, because, you know, when I was a kid, people told me I had a terrible voice.
Did they?
They did.
Carry on.
I was in school assembly and the girl sitting next to me turned to me and she went, "Will you shut up? Your high-pitched, whiny little voice is giving me a headache."
Funny you should say that, you know. There's a young man called Colin Tatham when I was in grade five. I still remember him. And what a punch. Hello, Colin, if you're listening. And he told me similar to what you just said then. And I smashed him. I punched him in the face.
Oh.
I just thought, well, Is that what you did?
No, I just kind of withdrew and was very quiet and silent and have mulled on it for the last,
It's all right.
Still remember, and it happened when I was 7, Stuart.
Well, exactly. Do you remember her name?
No.
I remember the one. Anyway, I remember mine because I had to go because he wasn't very, he's all right.
Okay, anyway, Stuart.
My voice was pretty bad, but I could hit him all right.
Stuart, we don't want to hear about violence. Let's.
Oh, for God's sake, it's a kid's fight, you know.
Stuart, let's do the question. Who did Perth residents turn their lights on February the 20th, 1962?
I think it might be John Glenn.
John Glenn is correct.
I think you're the first American. They wouldn't do it for the Russian, would they?
I doubt it. Yeah.
They'll do it for that dog.
Laika? Was it Laika?
Yeah, Laika. Oh, poor old Laika. It was just a mongrel on the street and got thrown into the... Oh, poor thing, really.
Mm.
It's not really very good. Yeah, John Glenn.
John Glenn is correct. He was the first American astronaut to orbit the Earth. His track took him about 170 kilometres above WA. Prompted by the local media and the Lord Mayor, people in Perth and Rockingham turned on their house lights and their street lights. They flashed lanterns and torches as he came by. He saw the glowing outline of the region and he radioed back to Earth. The lights show up very well. Thank everybody for turning them on.
Yeah, apparently Perth really turns up well because it's so isolated. It's such an isolated area. you know, where it is, yeah. A city, and it really there's no light pollution. I mean, it's a, if you've got around the surrounding areas, it's dark. But you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. So that's why it would have worked so well that John Glenn would have gone, that's definitely Perth down there.
I still think you've got quite a nice voice, Suzanne. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Terrible child.
Okay. You know, I mean, I'm kind of over it, but again, it's kind of lodged there in my psyche somewhere. Now, Amanda says, my husband has the distinguished history of being related to Sir John Hindmarsh, the first governor of South Australia, through his mother's family. Apparently he wasn't that good as a governor, says Amanda. Well.
Yes, neither.
Stuart.
My father worked with him.
John says, John, yes,
hello?
No, don't worry. I'm reading a text and then realizing that it's already said what I've already said. So let's not worry about that. Question three. Since 1996, the sequential lighting up of five lights, followed by all lights being turned off at once, has marked the start of which sporting event?
Since 1996.
Yes.
Okay. Now you start now. Just run it past me again, please.
Since 1996, the sequential lighting up of five lights, followed by all lights being turned off at once, has marked the start of which sporting event?
It's truth. Well, 1996 is an Olympic year, so I'm going to go to the Olympics.
It's not the Olympics.
Well, actually, can I try again?
Hang on. No, you can't.
I said you had a nice voice, Suzanne. I did. I lied. Okay.
Bye, Stuart. I'm also going to hold this conversation deep in my psyche for years to come, I'm absolutely sure. George from Fremantle. Hello, George.
Hello, Suzanne. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm well. I hear you won a black magnet last week.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's why I was ringing. I just wanted to thank those people who put in their two bob to us to support me on my efforts or whatever. I didn't realise it was happening because I was off the radio, so... Well, off the phone, so. But never fails to amaze me, this spirit of generosity of the nightlife family. And, they're very pleased to be rewarded with the magnet. Apparently, the last question where I was cut off was number 10, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. So, I think it's in the mail. I assume that it hasn't arrived yet.
That's the rumour, yeah. I'm not holding my breath, though, because I believe the mail service is a bit ordinary these days.
Yeah, and we do end up with a few tales of magnets that haven't arrived. But fear not, George, we will make sure that you get that black magnet, whatever it takes.
I'm waiting with bated breath. Look, I won't go on tonight. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. I was going to say what I would have said what Stuart said anyway. Do they have a win bin for the black magnet?
There isn't a win bin, so you're welcome to try if you like.
Yeah, I don't. I was going to say what Stuart would have said was what Stuart said is that it's the five lights and the five rings. I thought it might have been the five rings.
Oh,
and,
I didn't mention any rings.
And no, you said five lights light up. That didn't. Was
yeah.
Could run the question past me anyway.
Can't help yourself. You have a go. Okay. Since 1996, the sequential lighting up of five lights, followed by all lights being turned off at once, has marked the start of which sporting event?
It's 96. I don't know. I would have thought the Olympics because it's Olympics year 96. Doesn't spring to mind.
No, George. Anyway, next week.
Anyway, thank you, everyone who, like I said, gave me the support, and I'll catch up with you later next week, perhaps.
All right. Thanks a lot, George. Okay. Nice to hear from you, and glad to hear that you're feeling good about it too. Right, we have Aaron in Adelaide. Oh, Aaron, what's going on with your phone there?
Oh, it's on speaker. Hang on, I'll turn it off.
Yes, please do. While you're doing that, I will let you know that Ross has it, Jane has it, Jeff the truckie has it, Annette in Perth has it, Karen in Mullumbimby also has the answer. Hey, Aaron.
Hey.
All right. My question is, since 1996, the sequential lighting up of five lights followed by all lights being turned off at once has marked the start of which sporting event?
The Adelaide latest Melbourne Grand Prix.
Well, it's, the answer is just the Grand Prix.
So, yeah, yeah.
Yes, so that is the answer. And they turn the final light off and they go, it's lights out. So obviously the Grand Prix has been running for a lot longer. But before 1996, the system was a mixture of different lights, different flags. There were other ways they started it. And the five-light system was actually introduced at the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne in 1996.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and there is literally a Grand Prix that started, the lights went out 21 minutes ago, but I'm not watching it because I'm going to watch it tomorrow morning, so no one tell me anything. All right, question four, Aaron. After a series of attempts to sue and counter-sue over copyright patent, who did English physicist and chemist Joseph Swan join forces with in 1883 to produce and sell light bulbs?
No, Graham Bell.
No, not Graham Bell. Okay, thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, it's Anne in Caulfield. Hello, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Anne, doing very well. After a series of attempts to sue and counter-sue over copyright patent, who did English physicist and chemist Joseph Swan join forces with in 1883 to produce and sell light bulbs?
Okay. I knew the Grand Prix one, which is unusual because I don't usually know sports stuff, but and this one I don't know. I will say, look, I'm not sure about the dates, but I'll say James Watt.
It is not James Watt.
Of course not.
Thanks, Anne.
Oh, incidentally, I did get your message via Greta that you were wondering whether I'd be umming and ahhing, and I was umming and ahhing.
What? What did I say? When? I didn't say you were umming and ahhing.
Because about having my photo taken.
Oh, in the calendar, yes. So have you have a choice of yes or no? Have you chosen yet?
I sort of agreed to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You heard it here first, everyone. Anne from Caulfield will be in our calendar. There you go. You've committed on national radio now.
Oh, yay.
Okay. But you didn't get that question right, so we will let you go.
No worries. Talk to you later.
All right, bye. Trev from Surfers Paradise is also a poster boy.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Trev.
Poster boy.
Yes. Poster man.
Mr. February.
I don't know that we've allocated the dates. Oh, no, well, I don't think you're, well, I don't know. I think we've still got to figure out who's going in which month.
Oh, well, if I've got to say, I'd like to be Miss February.
Your request is noted. Okay.
People don't know what the hell we're talking about,
do they? Okay. Greta says you have dibs on Feb. Okay. Look, Greta's kind of she's taken the idea. She's making it a beautiful thing. So, okay, if Greta says you can have Feb, you can have Feb.
Oh, excellent. I just want the staples placed in a reasonable position.
You are going to be fully clothed, Trevor, so I think all positions will be reasonable.
Okay, I just don't want it on my nose or bottom lip. Makes it look like a funk.
You're not getting a whole, like, double spread, honestly.
Oh, why not? God, you're talking to Trev from Surface here. I think I deserve my own calendar.
Well, you go and make your own calendar then, Trev. You think that's going to sell? Be my guest.
No. I got 10 friends. I'll sell 10 copies.
All right, let's do this question. After a series of attempts to sue and counter-sue over copyright patent, who did English physicist and chemist Joseph Swan join forces with in 1883 to produce and sell light bulbs?
God, I was only a child at the time. Was it Thomas Edison?
Yes, it was Thomas Edison, Trev.
Well, I always thought Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, but then I thought Americans told me that.
Yeah, well, no, it's interesting because Swan and Edison both independently developed an incandescent light bulb. They both patented their inventions in 1880, and they were kind of having these, you know, cross-Atlantic fights and trying to sue each other. But then they went, oh, let's just team up and not sue each other. So that's what they did.
Look, in 1883, if you want to send a message to somebody, it took a week for them to receive it. Mm. You know?
Okay, anyway, Trev, let's give question five a go. In 1973, which state or territory capital became the last in Australia to have traffic lights installed?
1973, which Australia? Are you including territories?
Which state or territory capital?
State. God, it's got to be the smallest. I'll go Hobart.
It is not Hobart.
Oh, damn.
But people are saying they would buy your solo calendar, Trev. So go forth. If you want to do it on your own, go on. Here's Mike in Oak Park. Hello, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi. Diana's got it. Ray in the Bay's got it. Erin's got it. Susan's got it. Morgan's got it. Question for you, Mike.
Just before we go into that, can I just put in a request for a sound rather than a lighting type theme for some week in the future?
We have to tie it in with history. Let's see what we can do. Okay. Okay, in 1973, which state or territory capital became the last in Australia to have traffic lights installed? It was not Hobart.
Let's try Darwin.
Darwin is correct. The first lights in the NT were erected in Darwin on Daly Street in that year. Question six. What process, taking its name from the Greek for drawing with light, is considered to have been invented in 1839 by Louis-Jacques Mande Daguerre?
Monsieur Daguerre. I don't know, but I'll try laser.
It is not laser, no.
Oh, well. C'est la vie.
Merci et au revoir. See you, Mike. 1-300-800-222. A couple of lines have come free now. Amanda, that is right. Adrian, that's right. Morgan, Lorella, Eric, lots of you. Gordon.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
And welcome back, Suzanne.
Thank you kindly. Now, our question is this. What process, taking its name from the Greek for drawing with light, is considered to have been invented in 1839 by Louis-Jacques Mande Daguerre?
Oh, boy, I don't know about the Greek part.
Well,
All I got was Daguerre type, but that's not Greek.
But listen, but the process takes its name from the Greek. So what's, come on, follow your logic and see where you end up. I mean, you're heading in the right direction, Gordon.
Oh, boy.
Don't talk yourself out of it. What did you say? What did you say before?
I said Daguerre type.
Yeah, and what's that?
I don't know. I've heard of it and I don't know what it is.
Well, that's the problem if you don't actually know what it is, because that would be absolutely the clue.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, I hope someone else... apparently, a lot of people texted it, so someone knows.
This is true. We will have an answer soon, Gordon. Thank you very much for calling. Brody the Truckie. G'day, Brody.
G'day, how you going?
You've got the sound effects with you too.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was on your show I was king of the toots.
Yes. I know, there's a lot of you who can toot a horn very, very well. Now, what process, taking its name from the Greek for drawing with light, is considered to have been invented in 1839 by Louis-Jacques Mande Daguerre?
Is it amps?
I'm not hearing you clearly, Brody. What did you say?
Amps?
Amps.
I didn't hear the question properly, but...
No, amps is not the correct answer, I'm afraid.
Oh, no worries. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Brody. Here's Barry in Tennant Creek.
Good evening.
Good evening, Barry. What process, taking its name from the Greek for drawing with light, is considered to have been invented in 1839 by Louis-Jacques Amande Daguerre?
I really feel sorry for the guy. He had it all daguerreotype. It's photography.
Yeah, that's right. Daguerreotype was kind of an early way to take a photo. Question 7. Which group did Major General James Brunandel, the 7th Earl of Cardigan, catastrophically lead into battle on the 25th of October 1854?
The Charge of the Light Brigade.
The Light Brigade is the correct answer. That's right. In the Crimea War, it saw more than 600 British soldiers charge directly into a heavily fortified Russian artillery volley. 670 men went out. More than 270 were killed, wounded or captured. So it was a bit of a disaster.
Well, it was a miscommunication. He was told to charge, but he didn't know. He wasn't given the direction to charge into. And he had two choices. So he just picked the wrong one.
Yeah. Anyway, tragic story, but you do have the correct answer. Question 8. What's the name of the annual light festival that debuted in Sydney in 2009?
The Festival of Lights?
Not quite. Thanks, Barry.
Thanks.
1-300-800-222. Oh, g'day, Ruby.
Oh, hey, Suzanne.
Hi. You don't call as much as you text. There's Ruby. Very nice to hear from you.
Oh yeah, I thought I'd better call because I flaked on you last night at the last second during the news. So.
That's right, you did.
Hello. Yeah, I wasn't going to help you with the hard montage.
Would you have got it?
No. I knew one of them, but that had already been said.
Yeah. Don't worry. There's always a new hard montage coming.
Yes.
Okay, question 8. What's the name of the annual light festival that debuted in Sydney in 2009?
Is it Vivid?
It is Vivid. Well done, Ruby. Question 9. Which process by which living organisms produce light has been taking place for about 540 million years, first evolving in marine invertebrates?
I'll take a guess at photosynthesis.
It is not photosynthesis, no.
Damn.
Oh, sorry, Ruby.
Suzanne, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When you were in Vanuatu, was there anything interesting that you learned about its history that stuck out to you?
I did learn that Vanuatan independence is, in fact, I think the anniversary of it is, in fact, next week, that maybe it was 46 years ago now, that apparently they were a real mix of the islands that had been colonised by the French and the islands that had been colonised by the English. And so when they merged and became independent, a lot of people had to switch which side of the road they were driving on because they had to standardise everything. So I thought that was interesting. Also, when the first Europeans hit Vanuatu, a few of them actually thought that it was the kind of the east coast of the Great Southern Land.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know those things. Cool, thank you.
We might do something more on it as the anniversary is, in fact, next week of Vanuatu's independence. If we can find an expert, we might even have a yarn about it.
Oh.
Ruby, I will let you go. Okay, nice to talk to you. Lee's got it. Vicky. I have to check if those two words are, in fact, mean the same thing. Because I don't want to accidentally say someone's wrong if they might be right. So, all right, let's Jenny from Rockhampton. Hello.
Hello. I didn't ring for the quiz. I just rang as president of the Trev's a Man Club.
The what? The Trev?
Trev is the man.
Trev club. Is the man.
Yeah, and we want to put in an order for, make it 100 of just him, his quiz, but easy on not the photos, no nudies.
Okay. Well, look, I think this sounds like a business deal with Trev, not with us, because we're only going to have one picture of Trev. and his dog. So, Trev, there's clearly a marker for your calendar. 100 copies, you say?
Yeah, that sounds fair to start with.
How much are you willing to pay?
Oh, now that's negotiable. Who does the money go to?
Well, I mean, this is Trev's, you know. If it's Trev's charity, you'll need negotiations with him.
Yeah, that'd be for the Sunday night pub session. Yeah. So it goes up a little bit, I suppose.
Oh, dear. Well, Jenny, thank you. If Trev's still listening, he will take note that apparently there's some money to be made here. Thank you very much. That's given me the chance to just double-check this other answer too. All right, Gary in Tintinara. G'day, Gary.
How are you this morning?
I'm very well. Now, by which process, by which living organisms produce light, has been taking place for around 540 million years, first evolving in marine invertebrates?
The only thing I can think of is photosynthesis, but it's not right.
No, we've had photosynthesis. Nothing else?
No.
All right, thanks, Gary.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Robert in East Victoria Park. Hello. Oh, I have to press the button, don't I, if that's going to work. Hey, Robert.
I rang up because I knew Vivid. I didn't hear this question.
Okay. Which process by which living organisms produce light has been taking place for around 540 million years?
Oh, okay. Photoluminescence?
Photoluminescence.
That's like those fish at the bottom of the sea which make their own light and use it as to attract prey or to see where they're going.
It's not actually.
No.
Or is it? No. I'm just saying. Sorry, I just need to double check if it's the same or different as my answer.
Okay.
There's a lot of words here and they're all very confusing. Okay, can't take that. I'm
can
sorry.
I mention something else?
Yes.
Vanuatu used to be called the New Hebrides.
Yes.
And it was described politically as a condominium because it's combined French and British control.
Yeah, I did hear it called that. I wasn't quite sure what condominium meant, but that makes sense.
Okay, well, I'll go and let someone more knowledgeable offer an answer.
All right. Thanks, Robert. All these words are very impressive and they certainly do describe similar-ish things, but not this exact thing. Hello, Jonathan.
Yes, hello, Susan.
Okay, do you know what this process is?
Yes, I think it's called bioluminescence.
Yes, it's bioluminescence, which apparently is different to phosphorescence and photoluminescence and all of that. So, all right, we're done with that one. Jonathan, we're up to question 10.
Oh, wow.
The phrase, the light on the hill, was used in a famous speech delivered in 1949 by which Labor Prime Minister?
Oh, goodness me. Not too good on my old Prime Ministers, but I'm just going to say, I don't know his first name, John Curtin, I'll say.
It is not John Curtin, no.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. Thank you for getting the bioluminescence for us. Chris in Pakenham.
G'day.
Chris, the phrase the light on the hill was used in a famous speech delivered in 1949 by which Labor Prime Minister? It wasn't John Curtin.
It was Ben Chifley.
Yes, it was Ben Chifley. I was just going to say the full sort of line was, we have a great objective, the light on the hill, which we aim to reach by working the betterment of mankind, not only here, but anywhere we may give a helping hand.
Yeah, it's a very early pioneer of social justice in Australia.
Chris, you had something to contribute.
I got the fourth part of the montage for about 3 seconds after I hung up. I know I said something about stars or catch a star in your pocket or something. I think that's what it ended up being, but I didn't come to mind at the time.
Were you on last night, Chris?
Yes.
Well, you've slipped through. You're not meant to be on both Saturday and Sunday. Not you personally, it's meant to be one or another.
Oh, okay. I just heard the other lady say she was on last night as well. So that's right. I'll go. I'll see you later.
Sorry about that, Chris.
No, I didn't. I didn't know the rule. You couldn't be on.
No, no. And look, we didn't. It looks like we didn't make a note of your name either. So we.
I didn't get the email. So.
Thanks, Chris.
At least I got one right when I shouldn't have.
Someone will thank you very much for that. Okay, here's Kim in Manham.
Good evening, Suzanne.
Good evening, Kim.
I was asleep, but I was woken up by the dulcet tones of the chap from Victor Harbour.
Ah, he'll be pleased to hear that he's been described as having dulcet tones.
Oh, yes. I like his voice. I like his voice.
Okay, question 11 for you, Kim. Written about for more than 1,000 years, what's the name of the Indian Festival of Light during which people illuminate their homes, temples and workspaces with oil lamps, candles and lanterns?
I didn't know such a thing occurred. I'll have to admit, I don't know, Suzanne.
Well, I'll have to admit that you can no longer be on this quiz right now, right. Kim, but you can next time.
Next week.
Okay. Right. See you, see you, Kim. Roz on the Fleurieu Peninsula. Hello. Roz. All right, we better check if Roz is still there. Andrew in Smithton.
G'day.
Hello. Written about for more than 1,000 years, what's the name of the Indian Festival of Light during which people illuminate their homes, temples and workspaces with oil lamps, candles and lanterns?
I watched Compass today and it's Diwali.
Oh, well done. Did you know it before you'd watched Compass?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Diwali, it's called, or it could be called Deepavali or Diwali. Yeah, it's got all sorts of pronunciations. Question 12 for you, Andrew. The Australian Light Horse are most famous for their cavalry charge at which World War One battle?
My great uncle was part of that charge in the Whalers, and it was the charge of Beersheba.
That is correct. And look, you've got personal connection to it, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Nicely and done.
His son grew and Whaler horses, you know, in Portsmouth, Tasmania.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because we talked about when we did the history quiz on horses, we talked a bit about the Whalers that night too.
Yeah.
Andrew, which European city has been known as the City of Light since the early 19th century after becoming the first city in Europe to use gas lighting to illuminate its streets?
Paris.
Paris is correct, Andrew. Question 14. Who successfully won an Australian federal election with the slogan, "Turn on the lights"?
Australian election, turn on the lights.
Yeah.
That's going to be going back a little while. I don't think I'm going to get this right, so I'm just going to have to guess that Gough?
It is not Gough. Thanks, Andrew.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Dan in Scarborough. G'day, Dan.
G'day, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Question 14 is where we are. Who successfully won an Australian federal election with the slogan, "Turn on the lights"?
Oh. Fraser?
Yes. It was Malcolm Fraser, Dan. Yeah.
Well, Malcolm Fraser?
Not Fraser, but Fraser. Yeah.
Well, okay. I say Fraser.
Well, I'll allow it. I think we're talking about the same person. Question 15. During the American Revolution, on the night of April 7th, 1775, two lanterns were hung in the steeple of the North Church in Boston to alert colonists in Charleston as to the movement of British troops. What did the hanging of two lanterns signal about the route that British troops were taking that night?
Oh, my gosh. It was like Paul Revere and all those guys. Hanging two lanterns. Sorry. Don't know.
No worries, Dan. Nice to talk to you. Brian from The Gap.
Hello again.
Hello, how Brian. It's very nice to hear from you, Brian.
Oh, good. Nice to talk to you.
I've enjoyed this increase in your regularity, Brian. After being missing for a while, it's good to have you back regularly.
Right. We'll see how it goes from now on. Two lanterns. Doesn't ring a bell at all, but they were heading towards New York.
That's your guess, is it?
Yeah.
That's not specifically what I am after, no. No, well, it is not.
Right. Well, I can't be more specific than that.
Oh, all right. I mean, in fact, you need to be more general, but that can't help you now.
No. Next time or something. Yes.
See you, Brian. Right. Enjoy your week. And Brian, which month do you want to be in the calendar?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have no, I suppose the only month I am associated with is June, but I don't have any particular request to make.
Yeah, I think you'd be a good June, Brian. Greta, can we lock in June for Brian? She's not paying attention, but I'll make that happen, Brian.
I'll tell her you said that. I think I'll be talking to her tomorrow. So.
Excellent. Okay, thanks, Brian. Bye. Cameron in South Perth, hello.
How are you?
Hello, Cameron. During the American Revolution, on the night of April the 7th, 1775, two lanterns were hung in the steeple of the North Church in Boston to alert colonists in Charleston to the movements of British troops. What did the hanging of two lanterns signal about the route that British troops were taking that night?
They were taking the high road.
It wasn't the high road, no.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Cameron. A couple of people do have it. Frankie Mount Evelyn has it. Jim in Campbelltown. Jude in Kadena. Who else has it? Yep, Ray in Yeranga. That's also correct. Right, Roz on the Flurio Peninsula. Do we have you?
Hello.
There you are, Roz.
Well, it's my third go. I'm not that very smart. Okay, so the lanterns, now I know a little bit about this, right?
Yep.
Sorry, I need to breathe, because I'm oxygen. It was to do with, the British, right?
Yeah.
And the two lanterns were, let's go.
Let's.
I know, that sounds weird, but those lanterns said, let's go and get them.
Thank you, Roz. No, it wasn't let's go. It's not the high road. Yeah, Barbara and Darwin, that's correct. Yeah. Dave in Perth. Hello, Dave.
How's things, Suzanne?
They're well. So when they hung two lanterns in the North Church in Boston on April the 7th, 1775, what did that mean about the way that the British troops were travelling that night?
Can I have an easier question, please?
Well, if you answer this one, maybe.
Is it?
What's the answer? Do you know?
I've got no idea. Like, they're going to go east?
It's not east.
West.
Not east. Bye. I think this is one of these ones. Plenty of people know what it's about and they've got it on the SMS. We shall just keep going until we find someone who gets this. Hello, Grant. Grant, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, Suzanne. Soon I don't know. I've been too embarrassed to go listen back whether I was snoring my head off at me when you went to me on Friday or not. But anyway, that's.
No, I don't remember you snoring. I think you're okay.
I know. I could hear this, Grant, and then I heard, and then I heard a different female voice going, Grant, are you there? And I went, oh, that's someone who's talking to me. Oh, that's right, I was supposed to be in line for the quiz. But there you go. So, no, I just dobbed myself in, so there you go.
Okay, Grant, they hung two lanterns in this church in Boston on April the 7th, 1775. What did it mean about the route that the British troops were taking that night?
It meant that Suzanne is waiting for the people on the SMS line who know the answer to please, please call in and give them the correct answer, because no one else, I'm going to have a guess and you're going to hear bad puns, but did it mean the Green Lantern had a lant hat up so that he was telling everyone to go west and everything? So no, I have no idea, and take the low road. So whoever knows, just put it out of our misery so we can answer. And then we can all go on and say, welcome. Well done, Trevor Chappell.
All right. Thank you, Grant. We will, we'll rush. We'll see what we can do. We'll see if we can find somebody who does have the answer to this. Noel in Broadwater, you strike me as the kind of man who might know this.
Well, it depends. There was a saying, I think, at the time, Susanna, that said the lanterns was one if by land, two if by sea. So since there was two lanterns by sea.
That's exactly the answer that we wanted. Two if by sea. And had they been moving by land, they would have hung one lantern. It was made famous, this idea, by the American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who immortalised the line. Oh, all right, we did that, Noel. Question, what are we up to? 16. Broadwater, that's in Melbourne, yes?
That's in, it's near Busselton, about as far.
Oh, my goodness, I'm so wrong. So wrong, Noel. Okay, I'm embarrassed. Well, I've got a very Melbourne question for you. First erected in 1936, an historic animated neo-light sign of a skipping girl in the inner Melbourne suburb of Abbotsford advertised what product?
Aeroplane jelly.
It's not aeroplane jelly.
Good night, Suzanne.
I'm sorry about that, Noel. I feel very silly. I shall never make that mistake again. Bye. We have Ree in the Blue Mountains.
Hello.
First directed in 1936, an historic animated neon light sign of a skipping girl in the inner Melbourne suburb of Abbotsford advertised what product?
Oh, my goodness. Shoes.
It is not shoes.
I didn't think so.
Thanks, Ree.
Good night.
Good night to you. We have Bob in Greenacre.
I'm just going to have a guess, but is it aeroplane jelly?
It's not aeroplane jelly, Bob.
Thank you.
I hope that Trevor Chappell, if he's listening, has got this one correct. 1-300-800-222 if you can help us with this one. We have quite a few people. Yep, Vicky's got it, Susie's got it, Jenny's got it, Anne and Ray and Susan in Hobart, Annie in Melbourne. Eric's got it, Frankie Munn, Evelyn has it. I have someone saying, are any female callers locked in for the calendar? Very much so. Don't you worry, Betty from Dapto and Fred are going to be making an appearance. And yes, there will be a staff photo. We've got it all planned out for you. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Joe in Ridgehaven, hello.
Hello.
Joe, first erected in 1936, an historic animated neon light sign of a skipping girl in the inner Melbourne suburb of Abbotsford advertised what product?
Vinegar.
Vinegar is the correct answer, Joe.
Yeah.
Question 17. On the eve of Britain's entry into World War I, the British Foreign Secretary, Sir Edward Grey, remarked to a friend that the lamps are going out. What were the next three words that he said?
Over England.
Over is correct, but the other two aren't. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. We have Ewan in Blackburn South. Hi, Ewan.
Hi. Sorry, I was just trying to listen to the bloody question. I didn't hear it all.
Oh, no, here's the question. I'll give it to you again. On the eve of Britain's entry into World War I, the British Foreign Secretary, Sir Edward Grey, remarked to a friend that the lamps are going out. What were the next three words? One of them was over.
over England or over London?
All right. Over is still the only word that's correct.
Oh, God.
Thanks, my. Ewan.
Oh, hang on. Before I go.
Yes.
You there?
Yes.
That guy that was talking about Casanova.
Yes.
It was very interesting. And I was fascinated by the bit about Errol Flynn. And I did ring in to ask your producer earlier about this, but I was fascinated by Errol Flynn, and maybe you need to hold a history night about him.
I think that would be a good idea. We've kind of made a deal with Phil Show that he does Australian history and we do the European history. So we'd have to get Phil to do it.
Okay.
All right, Ewan, I will let you go. Thank you. Michael in Vermont, as in Vermont, America?
Michael in Vermont. No.
No?
Melbourne.
Vermont, Melbourne. I didn't know there was a Vermont in Melbourne.
It's a suburb.
Oh, see how ignorant I am tonight. Terrible. Okay. Michael, on the eve of Britain's entry into World War I, the British Foreign Secretary, Sir Edward Grey, remarked to a friend that the lamps are going out. What were the next three lines? One of them was over.
No, I've got no idea. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Tony's got it. Hillary knows it. Joe in Wodonga, Lorella, all have it. Joe in Sales got it. Give me a call if you know the answer to this one. 1-300-800-222. Graham in Brisbane.
Are you there?
I am here. Are you?
The lads are going out over Europe. We shall not see them light it again in our lifetime.
That is correct, yeah. The lamps are going out all over Europe. Well done.
The British tried to avoid the war, but the Germans wouldn't listen.
Question.
By the way, Errol Flynn, my sister lives where he died.
Where's that?
Canada in, I forget. No, I can't think of the land, the place where it is, but it's where all the Canadians go to die, by the way.
Really?
That's right.
Where are all the Canadians going to die?
It's in Canada. She left this country because it was too hot. And now we're freezing and the Poms and the Europeans are roasting.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a Pommy family years ago came here and it was so hot they left and went back to England.
Lightweights.
As did my sister who went to Canada.
Graham. Question 18, we're in the business end now. Who was nicknamed the Lady with the Lamp after gaining notoriety for making rounds to six soldiers carrying a light during the Crimean War?
Florence Nightingale. She made nursing a respectable profession, and there was a film about her, which currently shows on the TV occasionally.
You are correct. It was Florence Nightingale. 19. In 1896, one of the counterweights holding up a chandelier fell to the floor in a Paris theatre, the Palais Garnier, killing one person, a scene in which famous book and later musical was inspired by this event.
Phantom of the Opera?
Phantom of the Opera is correct. I'll give you a little bit of information on that and then I think we might have to do question 20 on the other. No. I'll see if you've got question 20 and I can tell you the other stuff later. Question 20. What name is given to a mysterious glowing orb phenomenon frequently reported in the Queensland outback in which lights have appeared at night and been described as hovering, fuzzy, dancing balls that follow travellers?
Would that be the Northern Lights?
It's not the Northern Lights.
Oh, well, I got one wrong.
Graham, thank you. Just on that Phantom of the Opera one, though, Gaston Leroux knew about that story about the chandelier and other stories of a ghost haunting that theatre in Paris. So he heard about that and put that in his book, The Phantom of the Opera. There is also in the story in the musical an underground lake. There is kind of a lake there today too. There's one white catfish and French firefighters use it. They practice swimming in the dark in this underground lake at the Palais Garnier. Let's go to Leonie in Cairns to see if she can answer the final question. Hi, Leonie.
Hi, Suzanne. You light up my life tonight.
Oh, very good, Leonie. Let me ask you this question. We'll see if we can light yours up with a fridge magnet. What name is given to a mysterious glowing orb phenomenon frequently reported in the Queensland outback, in which lights appear at night and have been described as hovering, fuzzy, dancing balls that seem to follow travellers?
It's the Min Min Light, Suzanne.
It is the Min Min Light. Have you seen them, Leonie?
I have indeed. I think I was just turned 18 and I was working as a governess on a property called Mintaka Downs, right on the border of Queensland and New South Wales, south of Cunnamulla. And on my day off, I went riding and I was picked up and as I rode along the southern boundary, which was the New South Wales-Queensland border, I saw this light that seemed to be following. I was riding a horse and this light appeared to be following me. And I thought, oh, that's one of the jackaroos from Ellerslie Station, you know, just riding on a bicycle, teasing me. But I was picked up at the southern gates by one of my employers, the boss, Mr. Lees. And there were a couple of Indigenous stockmen in the back of the vehicle. And I told them, oh, those boys are out there. And they said, no, that's the Min Min Lights.
Wow. When you heard that, did you kind of feel a bit freaked out by it?
I was fascinated by it. What year was this? 1963.
And so how high off the ground are the lights?
Oh, 1963, yes, I think it was. Oh, well, to me, I thought it was, as I said, there was a jackaroo training station, Ellerslie, on the other side of the fence in New South Wales. And I just assumed it was one of those riding along on a bicycle. So about that high.
So it was low enough that that seemed, like a solution. Wow, Leonie, I've never seen them. So I'm quite intrigued to hear about them. But anyway, your knowledge of the Min Min Lights has helped you win our history quiz tonight. Congratulations, Leonie. Have you won before?
No, I haven't. Not on the overnights. Not on late nights. I recently won on overnights. And that doesn't count, does it?
Well, I mean, we are kind of one big happy family, but no, it doesn't. So well done, Leonie. You've got one of each now. Congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's been an interesting lifetime. And I've told people this story, but they try to think of all kinds of electric phenomena, you know, lights and luminescences and various things. But I don't know what the answer is for where those Min Min lights come from.
I know. Maybe it's something we could look into another time. I know I did see in my research that there's even a sign that the council's got somewhere along the road saying, look, warning, you might encounter these lights and, you know, don't be too worried about it. Look, Leonie, you hang on, have a yarn with Greta and we will make sure we've got your details so that we can get your fridge magnets out to you.
Nightlife with Suzanne Hill on ABC Radio.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.